Here God, ons kom en ons buig voor U in aanbidding. Ons dankie vir alles vir ons Heiland, ons Verlosser Jesus, die Christus, en vir die gawe van ewige lewe. Dankie Here vir die evangelie van Christus. Kom, besoek ons nou deur die krag en werking van die Heilige Gees. En praat op die eie spreek Here tot die diepte van elke hart. En besoek ons. In Jesus Christus' heilige naam. Amen. This means I'm supposed to think of stopping. That means I've got 45 minutes. In case you're wondering what this is, okay? In case you think I preach too long. That makes a terrible noise. But I have to do it these days, it seems. Okay. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Hardloop, sodat julle in dit sekerlik kan behaal. Wonderful verse. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. The sin that we fail continually in. Oh, and let us run. Let us run with patience, perseverance. Nothing's going to stop us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us by God. Wonderful. Forgive me with my notes. My hierdie preekstoel is klein. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. Now Paul wrote to young Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me, literally from me, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That which I taught you, that which you heard of me, you now have to commit. Dit wat jy van my gehoor het, vertrou dit toe aan getroue manne, wat bekwaam shall wees om ook ander te leer. Who shall be able to teach others, commit thou to faithful men. Well, when I was a boy, that was long ago, because I'm 73 years old now. When I was a boy, I used to run faster than anyone. There was just no child in the neighborhood, no one in the school. I just ran like the wind, believe it or not. I could run like the wind, okay? But when I went to school, my first day, grade one, class one we used to call it, there was one other boy that started school with me and went right through high school. His name was David McKinnon. He could run. Oh! And I felt threatened by him and he felt threatened by me. No one else mattered. From when we were small little boys, when there was any race, we looked at each other. We didn't look at anybody else. We became aware of one thing. This fellow, he is going to win today. If he won, of course I was a bit downcast, and if I won, oh, he was in a terrible state. Wasn't nice to run against each other, but he was the only one that I felt threatened by, and no one else mattered. We didn't worry about anyone else but each other. And we weren't exactly great friends, to be honest with you. Oh, we grew up. We went to high school. Boom, there he is, first year in high school. Now, we ran so well, the two of us, that there was no one in the school or in the history of the school that came near. The records we broke. And of course, they put us into the inter-school. Now, those days, the inter-school, the high schools of South Africa eventually, the best runners and athletes, they have the inter-school athletic competition. So the stadium had about 60,000 people in. That's what they told us. And from all over South Africa, this was going to be the winners of the best athletes of the whole of South African school. Okay? Now, there was many, many crowds. But this fellow, David McKinnon, something happened. Something amazing happened. Now, instead of running against me, they made us run together. No more threat to each other. We were going to do running the same, you know. It's a relay race. You have a little baton, and you run, and you pass the baton. Now, there were a number. I don't know if you've watched a relay race. When they pass the baton, they leave the last two runners have to be the fastest runners you've got. That's always the case. And the other, the best runners they are available. But because of the things that happened with our running, the two of us, even in high school, there was great expectation that they knew we would win. There was no possibility we could lose. And the crowds were so full of anticipation because of a few things that were said over the loudspeaker that we could hear when we were standing. Now, here we are. I have to run the last one. I'm going to be the last runner. And he was the second last runner because he was expected to just leave everybody in the dust, boom, so that I could just run and get a new record, South African record. This was expected of us, okay? Well, they're running and there's roaring in the crowds as they see this fellow just past everybody. The people just stood up. There was roaring. And this fellow with the loudspeaker, I heard him, this is going to be a world record we're breaking here. So the crowd just screaming. It was incredible anticipation and expectation in the two of us. Now he comes, this guy that always ran against me, now running with me. And I'm waiting, and I knew, now I'm going to, and they're expecting a world record. Our school was just frantic, screaming at the top of their voices. Nonetheless, he comes, and he tries to get this baton to me, but he dropped the baton. When he dropped it in such shock, he fell. He was so staggered at himself, he dropped the bat. He's crawling. Now, I was supposed to be running, and he puts the bat in my hand, and I had to turn, and I couldn't believe it. These fellows all slowly coming fast as he's crawling to try and get this bat. Suddenly, the roaring of the crowd was different. There was just this grief, this cry of agony. Thousands and thousands. No more cheering. And these people took over, began to run past us. And he eventually gets up and puts a baton in my hand. And I began to run. And I ran as I've never run before. I've even felt the tears pouring down my face. God, what's happened? Here I'm running now. I pass this one, pass. I catch up and there's one fellow just... I'm about to pass. And he won. No one applauded. There was deathly silence. Not even the school he represented that won by a few inches. You see, the team that should have won lost because the baton fell. They dropped the baton that was expected to be put into the hands of the last runner, the last leg of the race. The grief that was there, I felt in our school for the rest of the year as they looked at me. as they looked at him. There was nothing said in the assembly where they had expected to have a great triumph for the school, which was fanatical about sports, especially our principal. That's a terrible thing that happened that day that affected me emotionally in many ways. He and I never spoke about it. Never spoke about it. We found it very hard to look at each other. But he had dropped the baton, you see. He had dropped the baton. Don't doubt this, Church of Christ. This is the last lap. Anyone who doubts that Christ's return is not truth, you don't know the Bible, and there's something terribly wrong with you. I don't say the day, the hour, you can't say that, or even the year. But everything cries out. This is the last lap we're in. This is the last lap. And we must be very careful, because there's a tragic possibility written across the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide that we drop the baton and haven't passed it to the last runner, the last preachers, the last generation. Don't doubt this now. The things thou hast heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Have we dropped the baton, Church of Christ? I need to ask that, and I need to ask that knowing that there's many preachers that will probably feel bad. I don't mind. Someone has to cry out, have we dropped the baton and not passed it carefully to the last runners, the last ending ones? Terrible thing, this. The possibility of failure. The tragic possibility and the fearful possibility of the failure, the last lap, not receiving what God expected us to not compromise, no matter what men did to us, but to hold on, and as a church, evangelically. Have we dropped the baton? Now in Christianity, in the race that God has given all of us to run the moment you're saved, you're in that race that God speaks about. It will not be an easy race. If you're truly saved, you've learned that already. Otherwise, I doubt that you're saved. Heaven's coming, brother. In this world, you'll have tribulation. Brace yourselves. If you're in this race, we're all swiftly conscious that we have a thorn in the flesh. It wasn't just Paul. I want to meet the preacher that's real with God, or the Christian that's real with God, that isn't swiftly conscious that we were given a thorn in the flesh. Now that's something that you have to brace yourself for. And the Bible, I believe, is full of it, not just 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, lest I should be exalted in case I get too great in men or my own, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, this thorn in the flesh that was God allowed in his life, I besought the Lord thrice. He didn't just pray a little prayer. He stopped life in desperation, crying, God, get this out of my life. Get it out of my way. It's hindering me. Get this thing. It's stopping me. It's slowing me. Oh, I besought God three times. He stopped life. It was desperate, crying, seeking God about this, that it might depart from me. And God said unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee. He'll say it to every one of us. Don't doubt this. Don't tell me you haven't got a thorn in the flesh. Whether it's weakness, sickness, persecution, someone in the most unexpected sources trying to destroy you. If you preach truth, especially try it and see what happens. My grace is sufficient for you. Not Paul. You see, Paul didn't tell you what that thorn in the flesh was. That means you and I can put our thorn here and hear God's voice saying to that which we cry out and expect God to deliver. This thing's wrong. This thing has to be. And God says, I'm leaving it. Because my strength is made perfect in weakness, in your weakness. It will make us here, may genade is for you. Genoeg. Want my kracht word in zwakheid. You think that was just Paul God was saying that to? God was saying it to every one of us. A during van die vlees gegee. Don't doubt this now. Might be sickness. There's something God allows. Some weakness. You think it has to, God, deal with this. No, this is going to make you cling to me. Why would you seek God for grace unless you needed grace? Why did you seek God for survival unless you needed grace for survival? Oh, God knows what to leave in your life that you think God should take out. You're confused, he hasn't. It doesn't mean that you fall into sin, no, but as a result of that, you seek God in a way you cleave to God, in a way you cling to him for grace to survive. Don't doubt us now. A thorn in the flesh. When I was a little boy, we stayed in Durban. Right at the outside of Durban, there was like all these bushes. Oh, it was terrible, full of baboons. I don't know how to say baboons. Some people say baboons, okay? That's what the Americans say, baboons. Okay, we had baboons. And we were all the kids. We used to do terrible things. There was the baboon tracks, you know, like so. And we used to run. And they all were small. We used to run, like the wind through. The baboons chased us, by the way, when we started. We loved to swing on their ropes also when we got chased by the baboons. These baboons were terrible. They took babies, literally, from prams twice. I won't tell you the result, what happened. Terrible things. Newspaper, the sad, right in our area, right around the street, just one street above the, anyway. Sad things, but we used to go in and go deep into what we'd probably call jungle or deep bush in Durban, and with the baboons. Now, we were being chased by the baboons one day, and we were running, of course, whoa, like the wind. I was always running first, especially when we chased by those, not little monkeys, the baboons. Woo, they were terrible things. It was fun, I suppose, but something terrible happened to me. I don't know how, but a piece of wood with a nail, whew, a long nail, was in that track somehow. We landed up running, and my foot went on. Pow, but this nail went right through my foot. Whew, it stuck out my foot. Well, the blood just whew, like a little, just can't you believe it? Now, when something like this happens, it's not easy. I fell down, of course, screaming and crying. Wah! All of them screaming, as the blood was just pouring out with this horrible nail. Well, I couldn't move. All I could, they were just desperate. And how do you carry a man? Now, they had to carry me, by the way. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. Give the nail, and they had to break the wood a bit because this thing was right through me. So now they're holding this arm, this leg, and they're off, screaming, and all of us crying as I'm losing blood pretty badly, to be honest, to this local clinic guy in the chemist, actually, what was his name? Anyway, he's a nice old man. But there they put me on the table and, oh, he had to do all sorts of things in the hospital. Nonetheless, that is terrible when you have a nail right through your foot. You know, you can't walk, but a thorn in the flesh is different. You can walk. You can walk. You can sometimes even run, but always conscious. It's difficult. Always conscious, there's something here. Never not conscious of it in your life. The thorn in the flesh is given to everyone. Don't doubt this, no matter who you are. There's a lie in your own heart if you say you haven't got a thorn in the flesh as a Christian. Conscious in this race that God sets before us. But it makes you cling to God. And then there sadly comes failure in the race. I want to meet the Christian that can say there's never been failure. One man said it to D.L. Moody, never sins. So Moody said, come. They're walking down the street. The man said, where are you taking me? Oh, I'm going to your home. Oh, I want to speak to your wife and children and ask them if you ever failed. The man says, hang on. I have sinned. I do sin. Moody had a bit of wisdom. Now look, there's the possibility and the sadness of when failure can come. See, in our race to the celestial city, we've turned off the broad road, and we're on the narrow road, but it's just opposite to all those who are still in the broad road, beginning in our home, members of our own house, will become our enemies. You just turn on that narrow road, and with all the powers of hell against you, as you are now on the narrow road, and all the powers of hell and everything beginning in your own home, there's a possibility you could fail. God knew that. And so what does God say? God says, my little children, these things write unto you, 1 John 2 verse 1, that ye sin not. You don't have to fall now. With all against you, your wife, your children, even when you first get saved. People right in the church, read Pilgrim's Progress to see what I mean. They excommunicated him because he got saved. It happens to a multitude of people, but everything's against you. You can fall. You can fail God. It's possible to fail. God doesn't say give up. He says get up. You sin not. That's what I don't want you to. You don't have to. But if. Oh, thank God for that. Otherwise, you and I are in trouble. If on your road to the celestial city we fall. There was a man called George Fervor. Operation Mobilization. He started with these two boats. Remember Logos and Julos? Massive boats he acquired when he was young. And they'd go from country to country, printing presses, printing thousands, hundreds of thousands of checks in the next countries, and teams of people who give 2-3 months, sometimes 3 years, and some of their lives, would go out with him on distributing a nation upon him. Of course, because it was a Christian boat, it was drawing people. Karpstadt, he had in this big auditorium in the boat, all the preachers, all these great preachers from South Africa, even Willie Moretti, Captain Dobby, Major Alistair Smith, all these great preachers, and all the theological studenta. There was I, a young guy sitting, but he spoke to us like we were children. I'll never forget that. This fellow wasn't standing there, awestruck at all his knowledge, you know, and his ability to academically talk. No. It was like he was, and none of us, I just watched everybody. No one could move. They were so gripped by this man who just spoke like, on a little children. They said Spurgeon did the same with illustrations that they say you mustn't do these days. Bury the greatest preachers in the world doing that, including Christ, if you're honest. No. He spoke about what happens if a man sins. If in Christianity you turned, there's victory. God's, of course, said you're a new creature. Old things pass away. You're on this narrow road. You're living a victory. But what happens if there's failure? After salvation, are you unsaved? No, he said. You look out the window. Bang, boom, the darkness, whoa, lightning, thunder, whoa, look at the storm. And as you look out, you see a man running past your house. He hasn't got an umbrella, no raincoat. He didn't expect to be in the storm when he left home. He didn't know he's going to face this. Here he is, and he's passing your house. Oh, look at this poor man. So he starts running, and he slips, falls, boom. Oh, the man slipped, he's fallen. Oh, now you take out your umbrella, you run out there, and here he's in the mud. Oh, he says, sir, I'm so sorry you fell. You didn't have any preparation. I watched you and you fell. Come, let me help you up. No, leave me alone, I've fallen. It didn't work. What? That stupid, come, let me help. No, I'm not getting up. I'm not going on. I'm giving up. I've fallen. You think the man's insane. But Christians do that. Christians go, God saved them, everybody, beginning them, everybody, even their enemies see this transformation, this victory, the setting free. And here, suddenly, a failure. I mean, failure come. What do Christians do? Oh, it didn't work. Listen, the same God who you put your faith in promises to save your soul has also given you promises forgiveness as Christians. When Christians fall, don't give up. You have no right to give up. If you're saved, you have no right to give up. Don't doubt this now, my little children. 1 John 2 verse 1, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. Always start with that. Otherwise you're living in a total rejection of truth. But if any man, Christian, sin, and isolated, not just sin all the time and you've never repented. John 3 tells you that you're not even saved. But if, while you sinning not, while God has set you free, while you find this amazing deliverance which is written across your life and the whole world, beginning your home, sees it, if you fall, we have an advocate. We Christians have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, Christians. Not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He's the way to mercy, if they come to repentance, that is. But for us, as Christians, going back to Leviticus chapter 16, where the high priest goes in once a year, who Christ is now our high priest, and this is all representing, reflecting over to Christ. And he takes the blood of the Lamb over the altar, crying to God for forgiveness because of the death of the animal, all pointing to Christ, who shed his blood, who's at the right hand of God the Father, who ever liveth to make intercession for us, whereby he's able to save them to the uttermost who come to them. We have not a high priest which cannot be moved with the feeling of our infirmities. He's in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. He knows what it is to be tempted as a human. He knows everything Satan can do. He knows, and therefore come boldly for grace to seek God for forgiveness. Don't let the devil have his foot on you and you're in the mud. Oh, I've fallen. I'm not going on. Oh, the same God who you put your faith in, put the faith that in the same God, in the same book. Get up, confess. Not glibly, not proudly, not arrogantly, sorrowfully, but come boldly. Don't let the devil keep you down there. Oh, I'm not going to go on. It didn't work. I've fallen. Don't allow that. You have no right to give up. Get up! The book cries out, get up. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare give up. You give up. That's the greatest sin there is. Don't you dare give up. You get up now. You're on your road to the celestial. You're on the narrow road. You turned off the broad road. God, man, witnessed it. God's not going to throw you aside if the devil and all he's worked and orchestrating to try and make you fall. God knew the possibility that on that narrow... And God said, if, don't you dare give up now. This is not excusing sin. This is God's word. God doesn't excuse, he forgives isolated failure. But if isolated failure become a norm because you just give up, then you really are on the wrong track of God's word, denying what God here has said for us. Hebrews 2 verse 17, wherefore in all things it behove him to be made like unto his brethren, us, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Hebrews 3 verse 17, Hebrews 4 verse 15, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched, sympathized with the feeling of our weaknesses, our infirmities. In all points he was tempted like as we, but without sin. Therefore let us come boldly with confidence and faith when we fall, if we fall, to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help. Don't you ever, ever dare thinking you have the right to give up. If you're saved, you have no right to give up. You get up. You get up or you grieve God. And you grieve everyone that's watching you. And you give joy to the devil and his people who want you to give up. But that's, if you fall. But 1 John is the highest standard in the Bible. John Wesley said, 1 John, read chapter 3 to know what he means. And yet, twice John speaks about if a Christian sins, what to do. Chapter 2, verse 1, if you sin, if there's mercy, an advocate, confess that immediately. But that isn't the only time he speaks about if you fail as a Christian. Chapter 5, he speaks if you see someone else sin. Not you this time, but you see someone else sin. Some other Christian, a preacher. What do you do? What do you do? Oh, what do most Christians do? You're the hypocrite. I sue him. You get on the phone. They say the fastest way to spread news, don't go on the television news. That's not as fast as just whispering something to a Christian. It's across the world. Even if it's a lie. And once the lie's out, that person's branded till the day he dies. What does God say? If you, he says in chapter 5, verse 12, 13, 14, 15, if any man see his brother's sin. You see, if any man sin, chapter 2, verse 1, verse 2. If anyone failed, but now if any man see his brother fail, if any man see his brother sin, a sin. What do you do? On the phone. No one will listen to him anymore. The hypocrite. Hey, preek, ek het my oë gesien. Sonde. What do you do? Answer God. He shall ask, John says. Here is a word that cries out with compassion. You come to God and you speak to him about nobody else. Oh God, before anybody else sees this, that destroys his ministry, before anybody else knows this, that destroys his testimony, before his wife leaves him, his children leave him, before everybody just looks upon him, God, speak to him, reach out to him, help him, deliver him from this, but speak to him. You cry, he shall ask. Oh, in compassion you cry to God, and he shall give him life. To them that sin not unto death. Oh, what do you do? Answer God. Do you obey God if any man see? You're on to the whole world. You tell the whole world. Christ summons, iemand say, Bruder, a sonde, sin doen. Amazing statement. That God says, but he bid, he shall ask, and he shall hom de levige. We are to cry to God, and God answers prayer, not only for you, if you fall, he will give him life. Redemption, does it not go up and down as a tale bearer among the people? Leviticus 19, verse 16 says to us, a talebearer revealeth secrets that should be covered. Of course there's things we've got to deal with that you can't keep quiet. The world knows. But I want to cry to you what God says. A talebearer revealeth, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. What does God say this to? Die wat met kwaad spreekerij aange omgaan, mag een geheim openbaar, maar hij wat betrouwbare is. Van geest bedekken zal. Does God say this to no one? Is this book just something to be denied? If any man see his brother sin, Galatians 6 verse 1, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, as he fails, as iemand, even wel lever een of ander misdaad, oorval word. Ye which are spiritual. Now that's something. You want to see who's spiritual? The man who prays the most? The man who preaches? No, watch when someone falls. What God says. You know who's spiritual and how they react if someone falls. Ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Now, do we obey God? Or do we destroy him? We've got evidence against him. We've got something to use against him. Get this too many out now. Get rid of this. Oh, as he meant, even well, een of ander misdaad oorval word, moet julle wat geestelik is, so een gehelp, reghelp, met die geest van sagmoedigheid. I am stunned how I've watched people destroy a man and not stop until he has no hope of even his own family loving him again. Rather than this, don't they have the same Bible? Don't they have the same Bible as me? When I was in Glenvar Bible School, okay? Probably despised, it isn't a wonderful, you know, go there for the great academic degrees out of the door. No, there's one thing about Glenvar that I thank God for. It's your life. It's no good getting 100%, they told me. That means nothing to us. Yeah, go somewhere else for theology. If 40% of what you listen to works in your life, we'll be happy. It's all this comes from here, not just here, never reaches here. Oh, I thank God for that. We used to have another Bible school, BI, Bible Institute, down in Colbay. They would come once a term to us. We'd have games, we'd go once a term, then goodies, then the time of prayer, and boodskappe and techotainers. But we'd always start with these games, you know. It was fun. One of the games in the Saal, Dalp Glenvar Bible School, we all take our shoes off, you know, and there we'd take sticks, any stick, and socks were piled up, and we'd, like a, what, I don't know, what's that game? Anyway, now we're doing this, and of course we're sliding around and falling. And it was fun to see who's going to win now in this fellowship with another Bible school that's evangelical, Bible Institute, that used to be one with Glenvar, and then they became separate. But we still have this fellowship once a term normally. And here we're going. Suddenly, one of our girls who was Bible school, something terrible happened. They were running and she was running, but something happened that she simply went up into the air. I don't know how, and came down on her face. No protection. Pow! Everybody, whoa! Oh.
But the different reactions
is what I saw. I stood there, I wasn't close to her. There were people right, they didn't help her. They stood in shock, oh, but they couldn't help. There was nothing in them to help. It was just looking in shock, oh, the way she fell, hurting, oh, she was hurt. I think she was hurting physically, but even more in shame, the way she had fallen. Nonetheless, I looked around, there were people laughing, those who obviously didn't like her. You think that happens in Christianity, in Bible schools, in holiness, theological sentiments? Oh, do you think that doesn't? People laughing. I looked at this reaction. Some were laughing. Some were happy it happened. Some genuinely were enjoying that she had hurt herself like this, falling physically. And here they are, not just one or two. I couldn't believe it. I went through all these other students that couldn't move, either shocked or laughing. And I grabbed hold of her. And I helped her up. I said, come on, you get up now. And she stood. Of course, she was weeping. But I said, listen, don't you worry about anything. I'm not going to let you go until you can stand. Are you going to stand? And I'm going to help you, but I'm not going to let you fall. I'm not going to let you go. Or you've hurt yourself badly. Until you stand, I'm going to stand with you and hold you. Now, there was something in her eyes of appreciation that I've seldom seen, I think only once else since I've been saved. The appreciation and the respect of that woman that none of the others received from her.
Oh, from God. Be careful now. If someone falls, ye that are spiritual. Now we go from physical to the spiritual side. What do you do? What do you do if any man see? I saw him, the hypocrite. Who else can I phone quickly? Let's get rid of this doom. Let's get rid of this person. Let's get rid of them. Let's destroy them is literally what I've seen in some people. In holiness movements that won't stop until the man is as good as dead and unable to get up. I've watched it. And I've wept over it. What are you, spiritual? Well, you soon see who's spiritual when someone falls, not when someone preaches. What are you? In context of what it means, what God's speaking about. Jesus said, judge not, that ye be not judged. That's fearful. Whew. Careful here. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Careful now. God's saying it to everyone, or otherwise, please tear this out of the Bible. What measure ye shall meet, what you do, how you react, what you imply here, and make sure you do destroy, it shall be measured to you again. Otherwise, you don't believe that page. Please tear it out. Don't carry a book you say believe in. No, that doesn't apply to us. We can do anything. We can kill them. As good as that, he that hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer shall have his part. Matthew 18, verse 32, I forgave thee all that debt. You remember? Because thou desirest me, shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? You honestly think all these verses? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5, he keeps no record. You don't hold that and say, I'm going to use this until I destroy him. You don't, for love covereth these things. If you can, you don't excuse, you don't encourage sin, but you are spirits who don't want them destroyed. You cry to God before you cry, before you whisper it to anybody. Oh, be careful here. When my father was alive, he unsaved those days, I was small. He knew all the Comrades Marathon winners are the best. Daddy was fanatical about sports. Whoa, didn't I know about that? We didn't know TV those days. So we'd get in the car, Maritzburg down to Durban one year, Durban to Maritzburg, up that terrible hill. Whoa, Daddy used to know them by name. Many of them win our house, the winners. Often in our home, my uncle was a South African champion. His record was not broken for 50 years after he broke. He was close to the world record. Well, other of my uncles were South African champions. We were a sports fanatic. But nonetheless, Daddy knew. And so he's taking the car, and I was always with him, my daddy. And he's taking this old car, as we're going, and he jumps out with Coca-Cola while they're running and throws water on them and a little towel. Oh, they loved him. He was there for them those days. Daddy was one with them, you know. And then he would always say, every year, let's go and see who's going to win. We're not going to help anybody. We're driving up to Bina Maritzburg. We park there by the stadium parking, and there's a stadium. Now this, they have to come in off the road 50-something miles up Scrooge Roads. It's worse going down, by the way. They say they're cramped. But here going up, and now They've got to run in the stadium and go right around the stadium while the crowds that have gathered roar till the finishing ribbon. After all those miles, not just 100 yards like me, 200 yards, no. Now we park the car, and they say, he's pretty close. You hear roaring down the streets, here comes the winner. Oh, Daddy, we knew who it was, but here comes this guy. You know how he ran in there? I don't remember those days. The winner, he didn't just run in like this, whoom, like he just started running. The end was just to show what incredible strength. Whoa, he runs around the stadium like he's, whew. I used to just say, where did this guy, how can he run like this, you know? I was small. And the roaring of the crowds that were there. And a good daddy. Anyway, a little while later, who comes? The next one.
You horrible, horrible.
Sorry.
Nasties.
Okay, you didn't see that. But it means I got 5 minutes. They told me I had to do that. Once that's so, here we go. Now, the next one comes in. We hear the roaring. It wasn't as loud there. This guy runs in. I remember him. He doesn't run like this. The first guy runs in. You've seen runners like this 50 miles. But he's second. Hundreds. Still struggling to. Hundreds didn't even make it. He comes in. Oh, the crowd sees him come. And then he falls. What does he do? He's crawling. And he's crawling the wrong way. He has to go. What do you do? I never forget my father, burst into tears. And the crowds began sobbing, screaming, get up! You're nearly there, get up! The compassion, there was no one criticizing, no one condemning, no one saying, oh, the man should never have done this. So give it up. Everyone screaming, get up! You're going the wrong way! He looks at her, he stands, go the other way, turns. Boom, he falls again, boom, get up, you're nearly there, go. He's running, falls, boom, crawling, weeping, but he's going to finish. Eventually he gets, he got more applause than that man who won. I'll never forget. Applause with weeping, applause with compassion. You know what it's going to be up there? 100 times more, not the winners. You win by ending. Not those who came striving. Wait until you see that compassion of these witnesses that are watching on the grandstands of heaven in their multitudes. He won because he crawled. You might go the wrong way. You might crawl, Christian. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
All that matters is you didn't give up.
So, the last illustration, which meant the most to me,
I can't give you.
Isn't that horrible?
That is all this. It doesn't matter what happens in your life. You don't give up in this race. You won't give up. Failure, yes. Falling, yes. Going the wrong way. I tell you something, of course, we didn't want that. Nor did heaven. But the fact that you got up and ended in this book, in the God who gave these promises. Wait till you hear the roar, in case you think you're going to miss it. Just don't give up. And don't give up on anyone. Because God never gave up on you. He that is spiritual.